From building a business we're talking about to creating best-in-class client experiences, we're here to explore what it takes to make sure you're top of mind and get the referral every time. Join me as I interview some of the most innovative and inspiring business owners in the online space and discover how you can create more opportunities to ensure your clients are thrilled with your work and make you the obvious choice to send their friends to. It's time to stop going it alone and start transforming your star power into staying power. I'm Dusty Arab, and you're listening to Referral Worthy. Let's get started. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Referral Worthy. Today, I have with me Natalie Kusa, who is a podcast guesting strategist. Natalie, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Dusty. It's fun to be here.
All right. So I've gotten to know Natalie a little bit over the past few years as somebody who was just a total power player in the space as far as getting people booked on podcasts that were actually relevant for them. So like not just going on one that only has 3 followers, things like that. And over the past like year and a half, I feel like you've got to meet with this Natalie in like a really compelling way. So I would love to just hear about the current iteration of your business and how you landed there.
Yeah, sure. So this is timely. I've just had a rebrand. It launched maybe a month ago. And it felt like such a stake in the ground moment. You know, when I've done podcast guesting and booking people on podcasts for 4 years or so now, but you kind of learn what works so well and where, you know, that mix of your skills and what the industry needs and what creates the best results and all of that good stuff. So this iteration of my business is here to stay. I do a done for you podcast guest campaign. It's 5 months. You know, we work intensively. We do all of the positioning, the booking, the scheduling, and the whole shebang for people. That's actually a relatively small part of my business. You can have a very small number of clients in that kind of role, unless you want to grow a big agency. I don't want to. There's only 2 of us. It's perfect size for me. You know, the quality control there, it really suits me. So the main, like my signature offer that I'm leading with is called Trust Tour. And it's a 30-day one-to-one intensive with as much done for you as I can possibly pack into it. Like my people just don't need another group program. They don't need to know how to do it themselves. So I've designed it so intentionally and I'm absolutely buzzing about delivering them. They're just going so well. So we meet for a positioning call at the beginning, 1.25 hours, you just brain dump onto me. I pull out angles, I pull out the concepts that you want to be known for. I pull out the stories that you're going to tell on podcasts. And we design a very intentionally, I call it a love at first listen funnel, that kind of experience for listeners that they hear you and then move their way into your business. And then I go away, I do the research, I write the pitches, literally write individual pitches that are tailored to that particular host. And a week later, you get an Airtable base with everything that you need. You've got your bio, you've got the curated list of podcasts, you've got the podcast pitches ready to go, and then 30-day support as you implement. So that's what I'm up to these days.
Damn! Yeah, like, wow. I mean, like, how are you capping that program?
Just my availability. When you book, you get a calendar link. I can actually do more of them than you would think that I could because my systems are on lock and because I have an outreach lead who's helping with the done for you. The majority of my brain is on Trust Tour. And it's just something to think to do at the minute. And I'm loving it.
Oh my God. I mean, I'm obsessed. Like, you know that, like, for me, like, trust is always like the biggest part of what it means to be referral worthy. And like having an entire like podcast tour around that, like as an authority builder, like that right now, especially in the current marketing landscape, is genius to me.
Yeah, thank you. I really think it.
So with the rebrand, like obviously you're reading the room, you're seeing, like you have the benefit of being international right now. So I know things are very different where you're at right now. But as far as what you're seeing for current trends, opportunities, like what are you noticing in the landscape right now?
That was what was working isn't necessarily working anymore, depending what you were doing. Well, I heard, I don't know who the original person that said this was, but it's saying that we're in a trust recession at the moment in terms of marketing. I just love that phrase. If anyone listening knows who originally said it, please tell me, because I'd love to credit them. It's just such a, like, it's just bang on the money, isn't it? And what I'm seeing is we're in the era of the personal brand. We're in the era of buyers, and your future clients don't just need to know that you've got framework from the concept and you can deliver. Like, all of that is a given. I don't think there's anybody that's still in business now that hasn't been weeded out over the last few years that doesn't have those things and that doesn't have the ability to deliver their expertise at a good level. I think we're, you know, the kind of maturation of the market, that's one of the really good things that's happened. But now I think we're in this phase where all of our buyers are experienced. They've all tried at least 100. And there needs to be more than just you can deliver results. There needs to be a values match. There needs to be a personality match. There needs to be a kind of philosophy match of how you want your business to look and run and the lifestyle. But there also needs to be more trust for themselves in your buyers. Right? I think there's this question now around, I'll describe myself as a buyer. I'm smart. I get results. I make the most of my investments. But I've also made tons of missteps in my investments, as has everybody else that I know, you know, that is actually making moves and going after things and taking risks. So the question is, how do I trust myself that this investment is going to pay off? Not just through pushing through and making the most of it and making sure that it pays off, but in a way that makes my business easier, makes my life easier. Actually creates a business that I feel really proud of. And I feel like that piece of trusting ourselves as buyers and trusting ourselves to get the results is, if you're not speaking to that, not growing at the level that you're capable of.
Oh my God, there's so many good nuggets in that. Wow. I love that. Like giving your buyer the opportunity to have that conversation with themselves. And I'm really curious, like, when you're setting up your different funnels, when you're doing podcasts, what does that end up looking like for you? How are you having that conversation with people?
I'm being super intentional about naming who is my ideal client and who is not my ideal client. One of the reasons for the rebrand, and so I used to have a group program, which is why I'm kind of talking about group programs that people don't need to learn. And what I've noticed is that the people that I really love working with and the people that get the very best results are more experienced. And as you get more experienced, you get busier. And you don't need another strategy. You need, ideally, someone that can come in and do some of the heavy lifting for you. That's kind of what I'm seeing in my ideal clients. So that's what I'm speaking to. I'm speaking much more about levels of expertise and like having a level of personal brand already and having a message that you know can become a movement. You just need to get out there and share it. Like, those kinds of concepts and message angles, they speak only to my ideal client. And if you're too early in business or you have a different philosophy, it's going to repel you, but in a really good way.
Right. In the way it's meant
to repel
you. We're
not going to be a great match anyway. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. I've got a really strict rule these days about, like, I don't work with baby business owners with, like, very, very few exceptions. Like, if you've been doing the exact same thing for 20 years, And now you're ready to go out on your own, then we can maybe talk. But, like, it's so specific. I just feel like for the majority of marketers, like, you know, we don't need to be in education for the most part. Like, there might be, like, a little bit of that client education that needs to happen about, like, why our way is, like, the kind of effective it is. But that's so in tandem with it being a match for the right person. Like, not everybody is going to be a podcast girly. Like, not everybody feels comfortable that should. But, like, you know already, like, if you don't already have those pieces there, probably not going to go quite as far for you as maybe, you know, learning the basics is going to even. So,
yeah.
Okay. So what do you feel like right now is the undercurrent? Like, what's not being said in the online space?
Oh, you ask such good questions. And she didn't give a heads up, by the way. I'm totally on the spot.
I like to keep you on your
toes. Yeah, no, I think the undercurrent is that the gap between people who are growing and people who are not is growing. So there's this sense of your faith.
It's so spicy, but it's so true.
I do, because there's so much messaging around how the market has shifted and people aren't buying and people are taking longer to make buying decisions. Yes, the market has shifted. I think in some senses, maybe people are taking longer to, I think people are making quieter buying decisions. That's at least what I'm seeing in my business. What I'm not seeing, the dip in sales. What I'm not seeing is that people are not buying. What I'm not seeing is that people are taking longer to buy. And that's not just in my business, that's in my clients' businesses as well. I think that there's a, I think that's what's not being said, that the gap is widening and that if things are slowing down, it's not a signal that people aren't buying. It's a signal that you need to reposition or do something slightly differently or meet the market where they are, which is not where they used to be, even if what you were doing was working really well 12 months ago, 2 years ago, whenever. Nothing.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And to your point, that is increasingly what I'm also seeing, like, is that there are a lot of people who, it's kind of funny now, like, I've, like, historically, all of my clients have been older than me, like, 10, at least 10 years, but usually more like 20 to 40 years older than me. And like, because I end up being like a tech translator for a lot of folks and I don't make them feel stupid about it, right? And so as a result of that, what I've seen is not an unwillingness to learn the tech there, but just a more of a, I'm willing to invest in this thing because I understand it's the future. And because of that, I'm just going to bring you in so that I don't have to learn it. And right now I'm seeing a lot of people who I would consider like, you know, colleagues of some kind in the space who seem extremely resentful that requiring them to change. And I think that that is just really interesting. And I don't think it's just like a function of getting older. Like, I feel like there's, it's that choice. Like, are you going to iterate? Are you going to continue to learn? Or are you going to keep doing what you're doing, which obviously isn't working?
I think it's about agency, like personal agency. And I think that's what it comes down to. I heard, she's a money mindset expert. She's called Lindsay Grace. And she said recently, agency creates overflow. And you know when something just really hits you? And it really made me think, that's it. Like it's the, if you want to stay in overflow, if you want to stay in growth and ease in some ways, it comes down to personal agency. So knowing that you don't want to learn how to use AI, great, maybe you don't have to, but then bring in somebody who can set that up for you and implement those systems into your business. So there's still that agency there, there's still that iteration, there's still that meeting of the moment. And I think it comes down to agency.
God, I love that. I feel like that phrase, like meeting the moment, has come up so much for me, like over the past like 6 weeks in particular. Today's, we're recording this on June 12th, and it really does feel like, you know, we're, you either are or like you're really, really not. And I feel like now more than ever because of AI, I don't feel like it's ever been so easy to like really fall behind in a way that is like going to have tangible impacts for the rest of your life if you don't figure some of this stuff out, at least if you're going to stay in marketing or want to have a small business that is more than like really.
Yeah, I think so much is being replaced, right? So it's, I'm not an AI expert at all, but the way that I think about it is the people that are using AI well are the people that have their own frameworks, that have their own body of work, that they're able to implement the AI into. Like that, I think that's what separates, you know, people that just churn out kind of AI-generated content that just annoys everybody versus people who are integrating AI into their processes and helping them work faster or higher quality or more creatively or whatever it is that you're using it for. But that has to be that baseline of your own body of work, your own thinking, your own confidence in your expertise.
Yeah, I completely agree. Like probably like half of what I'm doing behind the scenes with clients right now is helping them integrate AI into whatever the process is, whether that is upgrading their tech or making sure everything's talking to each other in the same way or creating a new agent. But like you really cannot do it without a really strong body of work. Like that's so, so smart. Okay, so transitioning here a little bit, what is something that you feel like you've had to learn the hard way? Or alternatively, tell me about a failure and what you learned.
Oh my God, so many things. Which one do I choose? Okay, I'm going to just get super real. My nemesis in business has been overpromising, and then because I hold myself to such high standards, I deliver, but I either deliver later than or I go kind of radio silent, so like into my creative cave, and then pop up, and it erodes trust. I'm saying this so that this is when I do a lot less of this. It's still a tendency. I think it's probably a tendency for lots of people that really give a shit about their work. But what I've learned to do is have systems. Like, that's the thing that just saves my business, so that there isn't that overthinking, because I just know what I'm doing. You do this, then you do that, then you do that, then you're. And in those systems are points at which I have to communicate. And I know that, you know, so that there isn't just that. I love a creative cave. I don't know if anyone else can relate, but I love that feeling of uninterrupted time, get into flow, create, make something incredible, and then pop up. And that works when it's your own business. It doesn't work when you're delivering for a client that really understandably wants to be involved in the process and wants regular updates and wants the confidence and the trust that comes from having a sense of what's going on, even if they're not directly involved. I mean, that's a super vulnerable share, but that absolutely has been my biggest mistake and then thing that I've needed to learn in my business.
I mean, honestly, thank you for being so honest, though, because I mean, up until, God, probably 2021, I would say the same thing about myself. I would say less so with the creative cave, but like that, I feel like my particular flavor of ADHD, like when I run into a wall, instead of like being willing to talk for the right amount of time, it will just come to me. And like, that might be my favorite thing about AI, because like, I feel like my like where I would get stuck in my writing before, and I would just sit there like and stare at my fucking screen like uselessly. I don't do that anymore, right? Like I can get the help I need with that transition sentence, and then I'm gold. Then I can just keep going and keep going. But God, for years I did the same thing. And like, and it's so hard because you're like, I know that I need to deliver all these things for this client, but also I haven't been doing any marketing, but how is it going to look if I show up in public right now and they're waiting on a response from me and blah, 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 endlessly.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
It's a relatable share. I think that especially if there are any newer business owners on here, they will probably see themselves reflected in that if they're any sort of a creator type of service provider. So of those up and coming small business owners, service providers. If you had some advice or words of wisdom to give them, what would they be?
For up-and-coming people, so you mean newer people?
We have a surprising number of newer folks who listen to this podcast.
Lean into your agency. I think the online space is incredible at making you believe you don't know something well enough or there's a quote-unquote right way to do it. And I'm a big believer in getting support, for sure. Like, I pretty much always have a coach. I pay experts to learn from them. I'm a really big believer in that. And also, I think when you're newer, there is a lot to be said for just throwing as much spaghetti as you can, seeing what sticks quickly, and then going all in on that thing. And that's the point where you can bring in the experts and you can really kind of start getting strategic about it. But I think a lot of the, you need this framework, you need this one missing piece in the online space, keeps you spinning. If you're not careful, it doesn't actually move you forward, because anything can work. That's the great thing about business, and also the really frustrating thing about business. So cycle through, try a few things, give them time to work. I'm not just saying create chaos, but then pick your thing and go all in on, and trust yourself to have the agency to make good decisions for you and for your business. And listen to your audience. They will tell you, what are the questions they're asking? What are the things they're actually buying? Not just saying, oh yeah, that sounds great. And then going all in on those things.
God, the way that you're having this discussion, like it often, like when we're early in business, it's just like, I don't know, it was kind of like a lot of my 20s at least, where it's like, no one's coming to save you. No one's got the answer. Like, it really is just like getting in the dirt and being willing to go and try things. Like, okay, what are you binging lately? Like, shows, books, like, what are you super into right now?
Oh, stuff. I've just finished The Wire for the first time. Like, I know it came out, 20 years ago, maybe, but I didn't watch it back then. And, oh, do you not, have you, oh my God, watch it. Dusty, cancel everything. Immediately go. Phenomenal. 6 seasons. It like takes over your entire life. And I just adored it. I just absolutely adored it. And I've just finished now. And I live in Ireland, so it rains a lot. You know, winters kind of feel quite long. Summer is out now. So it's perfect timing. Took me over the winter and then I can stand up off the sofa, go out, enjoy the sun.
Oh my God, I love it. Okay, last question. What is referral worthy to you? And if you've got brands, people, books, people that you feel like are really exemplifying that too, feel free to share.
To me, it's that like something you can't stop thinking about. So like a phrase that somebody said, like, so I just referred somebody who I've never directly worked with, the money mindset person talking about agency creates overflow, because just the way that she said it, you know, sometimes someone says something, it just lands just right in the moment for you. It did that for me. That's to me what makes something or someone referral worthy. It's that like capturing something that's going on for you in a way that becomes like a hook, like so memorable that you can't help but tell somebody else about it, or remember them at that exact time when your friend says, oh my God, I just wish I could find somebody to help with, da 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 da. And you're like, oh, I know just the person. And it's not, oh, you need a strategist who does X, Y, Z, or, you know, maybe this person, not this person. It's like, no, you need Dusty. No one else will do. It has to be Dusty. And it's from that kind of hooky, memorable bit to me anyway.
So good. So good. Oh my God. Natalie, thank you so, so much for coming on and sharing. I feel like this whole episode is just like this perfect little gem of inspiration for folks.
Thank you. Philosophy session.
Right? So much for coming on. Everybody, if you want to get in touch with Natalie, I'm going to have all her contact information here below in the show notes. And you should maybe consider doing a podcast tour with her. Maybe go check out one of these trust tours. I might be checking out one of these trust tours, to be honest. I was like, I've been fully convinced at this point. I was like, oh, yeah, that's very sexy. That's very sexy.
Also, just because my vulnerability hangover is already starting, there's no risk of me running away and not communicating for trust tour, because the whole thing takes a week. We have a call. And then a week later, you receive everything. So
that's the thing you've learned not to do. Like, I mean, you've got the system out. Like, it's a huge part of the referral-worthy program too, though, right? Is like figuring out how to put in those systems so it doesn't happen. Like, and I feel like that's the section that I end up like spending the most time going through, like on repeat. Like every year I go and reassess stuff and make sure that it's actually still working, that I'm not dropping the ball anywhere. Because there's always room to improve. Like, and also on the other side of things, somebody is always not going to be happy. And you can't like build your business around that one person who's like, you know, the squeaky wheel.
I'm really lucky. I've been in business 4 years. I've had like one person maybe, but I've been so, I mean, it's partly luck, sure. But it's also what we were talking about only calling in the right people, that your value isn't, I never want to work with people where it's like, all right, deliver, bitch. Do you know, like there's that kind of relationship of, I'm paying you for a service, deliver the service, I'm out. There's always, and I think there has to be, because I do positioning and messaging, I bet there has to be some understanding there. But there's, I mean, sure, I deliver the service, but there's also relationship there. I think I'm really lucky. I don't have any horror stories that I've heard from people about, you know, client breakdowns. Or...
Oh, bless. I'm so glad for you in that regard.
I'll let me keep it that way, yeah.
All right. So no one who's like trigger happy, go hang out with Natalie. Don't forget. If you can't behave, then don't go over.
Basic standard.
I love it. All right. I will talk to you so soon. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And we will catch you next time.
You've been listening to Referral Worthy. If you're ready to get more business from the clients who already love you, you need my Client Experience Pack. It's a collection of templates designed to help you create a referral-worthy experience from first touch to final invoice. Find it at thereinvention.co/CEP. From building a business we're talking about to creating best-in-class client experiences, we're here to explore what it takes to make sure you're top of mind and get the referral every time. Join me as I interview some of the most innovative and inspiring business owners in the online space and discover how you can create more opportunities to ensure your clients are thrilled with your work and make you the obvious choice to send their friends to. It's time to stop going it alone and start transforming your star power into staying power. I'm Dusty Arab, and you're listening to Referral Worthy. Let's get started.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Referral Worthy. Today, I have with me Natalie Kusa, who is a podcast guesting strategist. Natalie, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Dusty. It's fab to be here.
All right. So I've gotten to know Natalie a little bit over the past few years as somebody who was just a total power player in the space as far as getting people booked on podcasts that were actually relevant for them. So like not just going on one that only has 3 followers, things like that. And over the past like year and a half, I feel like you've got to be with this, Natalie, in like a really compelling way. So I would love to just hear about the current iteration of your business and how you landed there.
Yeah, sure. So this is timely. I've just had a rebrand. It launched maybe a month ago. And it felt like such a stake in the ground moment. You know, I've done podcast guesting and booking people on podcasts for 4 years or so now. But you kind of learn what works so well and where, you know, that mix of your skills and what the industry needs and what creates the best results and all of that good stuff. So this iteration of my business is here to stay. It's I do a done for you podcast guest campaign. It's 5 months. You know, we work intensively. We do all of the positioning, the booking, the scheduling and the whole shebang for people. That's actually a relatively small part of my business. You can only have a very small number of clients in that kind of role, unless you want to grow a big agency. I don't want to. There's only 2 of us. It's perfect size for me. You know, the quality control there, it really suits me. So the main, like my signature offer that I'm leading with is called Trust Tour. And it's a 30-day one-to-one intensive with as much done for you as I can possibly pack into it. Like my people just don't need another group program. They don't need to know how to do it themselves. So I've designed it so intentionally and I'm absolutely buzzing about delivering them. They're just going so well. So we meet for a positioning call at the beginning, 1.25 hours. You just brain dump onto me. I pull out angles. I pull out the concepts that you want to be known for. I pull out the stories that you're going to tell on podcasts. And we design a very intentionally, I call it a love at first listen funnel. And that kind of experience for listeners that they hear you and then move their way into your business. And then I go away, I do the research, I write the pitches, literally write individual pitches that are tailored to that particular host. And a week later, you get an Airtable base with everything that you need. You've got your bio, you've got the curated list of podcasts, you've got the podcast pitches ready to go, and then 30-day support as you implement. So that's what I'm up to these days.
Damn. Yeah. Like, wow. I mean, like, what's the, like, how are you capping that program?
Just my availability. When you book, you get a calendar link. I can actually do more of them than you would think that I could because my systems are on lock and because I have an outreach lead who's helping with the done for you. The majority of my brain is on Trust Tour. And it's just a thing to do at the minute. And I'm loving it.
Oh my God. I mean, I'm obsessed. Like, you know that, like, for me, like, trust is always like the biggest part of what it means to be referral worthy. And like having an entire like podcast tour around that, like as an authority builder, like that right now, especially in the current marketing landscape, is genius to me.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm really big. Okay.
So with the rebrand, like obviously you're reading the room, you're seeing, like you have the benefit of being international right now. So I know things are very different where you're at right now. But as far as what you're seeing for current trends, opportunities, like what are you noticing in the landscape right now?
That was what was working isn't necessarily working anymore, depending what you were doing. So I heard, I don't know who the original person that said this was, but saying that we're in a trust recession at the moment in terms of marketing. I just love that phrase. If anyone listening knows who originally said it, please tell me because I'd love to credit them. It's just such a, like, it's just bang on the money, isn't it? And what I'm seeing is we're in the era of the personal brand. We're in the era of buyers and your future clients don't just need to know that you've got frameworks and the concept and you can deliver. Like, all of that is a given. I don't think there's anybody that's still in business now that hasn't been weeded out over the last few years that doesn't have those things and that doesn't have the ability to deliver their expertise at a good level. I think we're, you know, the kind of maturation of the market, that's one of the really good things that's happened. But now I think we're in this phase where all of our buyers are experienced. They've all tried at least. And there needs to be more than just you can deliver results. There needs to be a values match. There needs to be a personality match. There needs to be a kind of philosophy match of how you want your business to look and run and the lifestyle. But there also needs to be more trust for themselves in your buyers. Right? I think there's this question now around, I'll describe myself as a buyer. I'm smart. I get results. I make the most of my investments. But I've also made tons of missteps in my investments, as has everybody else that I know, you know, that is actually making moves and going after things and taking risks. So the question is, how do I trust myself that this investment is going to pay off? Not just through pushing through and making the most of it and making sure that it pays off, but in a way that makes my business easier, makes my life easier. It actually creates a business that I feel really proud of. And I feel like that piece of trusting ourselves as buyers and trusting ourselves to get the results is, if you're not speaking to that, not growing at the level that you're capable of.
Oh my God, there's so many good nuggets in that. Wow. I love that. Like giving your buyer the opportunity to have that conversation with themselves. And I'm really curious, like, when you're setting up your different funnels, when you're doing podcasts, what does that end up looking like for you? How are you having that conversation with people?
I'm being super intentional about naming who is my ideal client and who is not my ideal client. One of the reasons for the rebrand, and so I used to have a group program, which is why I'm kind of talking about group programs that people don't need to learn. And what I've noticed is that the people that I really love working with and the people that get the very best results are more experienced. And as you get more experienced, you get busier. And you don't need another strategy. You need, ideally, someone that can come in and do some of the heavy lifting for you. That's kind of what I'm seeing in my ideal clients. So that's what I'm speaking to. I'm speaking much more about levels of expertise and like having a level of personal brand already and having a message that you know can become a movement. You just need to get out there and share it. Like, those kinds of concepts and message angles, they speak only to my ideal client. And if you're too early in business or you have a different philosophy, it's going to repel you, but in a really good way.
Right. In the way it's meant to
repel you. It's a great match anyway. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. I've got a really strict rule these days about, like, I don't work with baby business owners, with like very, very few exceptions. Like, if you've been doing the exact same thing for 20 years, and now you're ready to go out on your own, then we can maybe talk. But like, it's so specific. I just feel like for the majority of marketers, like, you know, we don't need to be in education for the most part. Like, there might be like a little bit of that client education that needs to happen about like why our way is like the kind of effective it is. But that's so in tandem with it being a match for the right person. Like, not everybody is going to be a podcast girly. Like, not everybody feels comfortable. That should. But like, you know, already, like, if you don't already have those pieces there, probably not going to go quite as far for you as maybe, you know, learning the basics is going to even. So,
yeah.
Okay. So what do you feel like right now is the undercurrent? Like, what's not being said in the online space?
Oh, you ask such good questions. And she didn't give a heads up, by the way. We're totally on the spot.
I like to keep you on your
toes. Yeah, no, I think the undercurrent is that the gap between people who are growing and people who are not is growing. So there's this sense of your faith.
It's so spicy, but it's so true.
I do, because there's so much messaging around how the market has shifted and people aren't buying and people are taking longer to make buying decisions. Yes, the market has shifted. I think in some senses, maybe people are taking longer to, I think people are making quieter buying decisions. That's at least what I'm seeing in my business. What I'm not seeing is a dip in sales. What I'm not seeing is that people are not buying. What I'm not seeing is that people are taking longer to buy. And that's not just in my business, that's in my clients' businesses as well. I think that there's a, yeah, I think that's what's not being said, that the gap is widening, and that if things are slowing down, it's not a signal that people aren't buying. It's a signal that you need to reposition or do something slightly differently or meet the market where they are, which is not where they used to be, even if what you were doing was working really well 12 months ago, 2 years ago, whenever. Nothing.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And to your point, that is increasingly what I'm also seeing, like, is that there are a lot of people who, it's kind of funny now, like, I've, like, historically, all of my clients have been older than me, like, 10, at least 10 years, but usually more like 20 to 40 years older than me. And like, because I end up being like a tech translator for a lot of folks, and I don't make them feel stupid about it, right? And so as a result of that, what I've seen is not an unwillingness to learn the tech there, but just a more of a, I'm willing to invest in this thing because I understand it's the future. And because of that, I'm just going to bring you in so that I don't have to learn it. And right now, I'm seeing a lot of people who I would consider, like, you know, colleagues of some kind in the space, who seem extremely resentful that requiring them to change. And I think that that is just really interesting. And I don't think it's just like a function of getting older. Like, I feel like there's, yeah, it's that choice. Like, are you going to iterate? Are you going to continue to learn? Or are you going to keep doing what you're doing, which obviously isn't working?
I think it's about agency, like personal agency. And I think that's what it comes down to. I heard, she's a money mindset expert. She's called Lindsay Grace. And she said recently, agency creates overflow. And you know when something just really hits you? And it really made me think, that's it. Like, it's the, if you want to stay in overflow, if you want to stay in growth and ease in some ways, it comes down to personal agency. So knowing that you don't want to learn how to use AI, great, maybe you don't have to, but then bring in somebody who can set that up for you and implement those systems into your business. So there's still that agency there, there's still that iteration, there's still that meeting of the moment. And I think it comes down to agency.
God, I love that. I feel like that phrase, like meeting the moment, has come up so much for me, like over the past like 6 weeks in particular. Today's, we're recording this on June 12th, and it really does feel like, you know, we're, you either are or like you're really, really not. And I feel like now more than ever, because of AI, I don't feel like it's ever been so easy to like really fall behind in a way that is like going to have tangible impacts for the rest of your life if you don't figure some of this stuff out, at least if you're going to stay in marketing or want to have a small business that is more than like really.
Yeah, I think so much is being replaced, right? So it's, I'm not an AI expert at all, but the way that I think about it is the people that are using AI well are the people that have their own frameworks, that have their own body of work, that they're able to implement the AI into. Like that, I think that's what separates, you know, people that just churn out kind of AI-generated content that just annoys everybody versus people who are integrating AI into their processes and helping them work faster or higher quality or more creatively or whatever it is that you're using it for. But that has to be that baseline of your own body of work, your own thinking, your own confidence in your expertise.
God, I completely agree. Like probably like half of what I'm doing behind the scenes with clients right now is helping them integrate AI into whatever the process is, whether that is upgrading their tech or making sure everything's talking to each other in the same way or creating a new agent. But like, you really cannot do it without a really strong body of work. Like that's so, so smart. Okay. So transitioning here a little bit, what is something that you feel like you've had to learn the hard way? Or alternatively, tell me about a failure and what you learned.
Oh my God, so many things. Which one do I choose? Okay. I'm going to just get super real. My nemesis in business has been overpromising, and then because I hold myself to such high standards, I deliver, but I either deliver later myself or I go kind of radio silent, so like into my creative cave, and then pop up and it erodes trust. I'm saying this so that this is, I do a lot less of this. It's still a tendency. I think it's I think it's probably a tendency for lots of people that really give a shit about their work. But what I've learned to do is have systems. Like, that's the thing that just saves my business, so that there isn't that overthinking, because I just know what I'm doing. You do this, then you do that, then you do that, then you. And in those systems are points at which I have to communicate. And I know that, you know, so that there isn't just that. I love a creative cave. I don't know if anyone else can relate, but I love that feeling of uninterrupted time, get into flow, create, make something incredible, and then pop up. And that works when it's your own business. It doesn't work when you're delivering for a client that really understandably wants to be involved in the process and wants regular updates and wants the confidence and the trust that comes from having a sense of what's going on, even if they're not directly involved. I mean, that's a super vulnerable share, but that absolutely has been my biggest mistake and then thing that I've needed to learn in my business.
I mean, honestly, thank you for being so honest, though, because I mean, up until, God, probably 2021, I would say the same thing about myself. I would say less so with the creative cave, but like that, I feel like my particular flavor of ADHD, like when I run into a wall, instead of like being willing to talk for the right amount of time, it will just come to me. And like, that might be my favorite thing about AI, because like, I feel like my like where I would get stuck in my writing before, and I would just sit there like and stare at my fucking screen like uselessly. I don't do that anymore, right? Like I can get the help I need with that transition sentence, and then I'm gold. Then I can just keep going and keep going. But God, for years I did the same thing. And like, and it's so hard because you're like, I know that I need to deliver all these things for this client, but also I haven't been doing any marketing, but how is it going to look if I show up in public right now and they're waiting on a response from me and blah, 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 endlessly.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
It's a relatable share. I think that especially if there are any newer business owners on here, they will probably see themselves reflected in that if they're any sort of a creator type of service provider. So of those up and coming small business owners, service providers. If you had some advice or words of wisdom to give them, what would they be?
For up-and-coming people, so you mean newer people?
We have a surprising number of newer folks who listen to this podcast.
Lean into your agency. I think the online space is incredible at making you believe you don't know something well enough, or there's a quote-unquote right way to do it. And I'm a big believer in getting support, for sure. Like, I pretty much always have a coach. I pay experts to learn from them. I'm a really big believer in that. And also, I think when you're newer, there is a lot to be said for just throwing as much spaghetti as you can, seeing what sticks quickly, and then going all in on that thing. And that's the point where you can bring in the experts and you can really kind of start getting strategic about it. But I think a lot of the, you need this framework, you need this one missing piece in the online space, keeps you spinning. If you're not careful, it doesn't actually move you forward, because anything can work. That's the great thing about business, and also the really frustrating thing about business. So cycle through, try a few things, give them time to work. I'm not just saying create chaos, but then pick your thing and go all in on it, and trust yourself to have the agency to make good decisions for you and for your business. And listen to your audience. They will tell you, what are the questions they're asking? What are the things they're actually buying? Not just saying, oh yeah, that sounds great, and then go in all in on those things.
God, the way that you're having this discussion, like it often, like when we're early in business, it's just like, I don't know, it was kind of like a lot of my 20s at least, where it's like, no one's coming to save you. No one's got the answer. Like, it really is just like getting in the dirt and being willing to go and try things. Like, okay, what are you binging lately? Like, shows, books, like, what are you super into right now?
Oh, stuff. I've just finished The Wire for the first time. Like, I know it came out, what, 20 years ago, maybe? But I didn't watch it back then. And, oh, do not, have you, oh my God, watch it. Dusty, cancel everything. Immediately go. Phenomenal. 6 seasons. It, like, takes over your entire life. And I just adored it. I just absolutely adored it. And I've just finished now, and I live in Ireland, so it rains a lot. You know, winters kind of feel quite long. Summer is out now, so it's perfect timing. Took me over to winter, and then I can stand up off the sofa, go out, enjoy the sun.
Oh my God, I love it. Okay, last question. what is referral worthy to you? And if you've got brands, people, books, people that you feel like are really exemplifying that too, feel free to share.
To me, it's that like something you can't stop thinking about. So like a phrase that somebody said, like, so I just referred somebody who I've never directly worked with, the money mindset person talking about agency creates overflow, because just the way that she said it, you know, sometimes someone says something, it just lands just right in the moment for you. It did that for me. That's to me what makes something or someone referral worthy. It's that like capturing something that's going on for you in a way that becomes like a hook, like so memorable that you can't help but tell somebody else about it, or remember them at that exact time when your friend says, oh my God, I just wish I could find somebody to help with da 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 da. And you're like, oh, I know just the person. And it's not, oh, you need a strategist who does X, Y, Z, or, you know, maybe this person, not this person. It's like, no, you need Dusty. No one else will do. It has to be Dusty. And it's from that kind of hooky, memorable bit to me anyway.
So good. So good. Oh my God. Natalie, thank you so, so much for coming on and sharing. I feel like this whole episode is just like this perfect little gem of inspiration for folks.
Thank you. Philosophy session.
Right? So much for coming on. Everybody, if you want to get in touch with Natalie, I'm going to have all her contact information here below in the show notes. And you should maybe consider doing a podcast tour with her. Maybe go check out one of these trust tours. I might be checking out one of these trust tours, to be honest. I was like, I've been fully convinced at this point. I was like, oh, yeah, that's very sexy. That's very sexy.
Also, just because my vulnerability hangover is already starting, there's no risk of me running away and not communicating for trust tour, because the whole thing takes a week. We have a call, and then a week later, you receive everything. So
that's the thing you've learned not to do. Like, I mean, you've got the system out. Like, it's a huge part of the referral-worthy program too, though, right? Is like figuring out how to put in those systems so it doesn't happen. Like, and I feel like that's the section that I end up like spending the most time going through, like on repeat. Like every year I go and reassess stuff and make sure that it's actually still working, that I'm not dropping the ball anywhere. Because there's always room to improve. Like, and also on the other side of things, somebody is always not going to be happy. And you can't like build your business around that one person who's like, you know, the squeaky wheel.
I'm really lucky. I've been in business 4 years. I've had like one person maybe, but I've been so, I mean, it's partly luck, sure. But it's also what we were talking about only calling in the right people, that your value isn't, I never want to work with people where it's like, all right, deliver, bitch. Do you know, like there's that kind of relationship of, I'm paying you for a service, deliver the service, I'm out. There's always, and I think there has to be, because I do positioning and messaging, I bet there has to be some understanding there. But there's, I mean, sure, I deliver the service, but there's also relationship there. I think I'm really lucky. I don't have any horror stories that I've heard from people about, you know, client breakdowns and all that.
Bless. I'm so glad for you in that regard.
I'll let me keep you in my way, yeah.
All right. So no one who's like trigger happy, go hang out with Natalie. Don't, yeah, if you can't behave, then don't go over.
Basic standard.
I love it. All right. I will talk to you so soon. Thank you everyone for listening, and we will catch you next time.
You've been listening to Referral Worthy. If you're ready to get more business from the clients who already love you, you need my Client Experience Pack. It's a collection of templates designed to help you create a referral-worthy experience from first touch to final invoice. Find it at thereinvention.co/CEP.